With KZU News, I'm Dylan Music. Over a dozen people from the group Never Again Moss Landing spoke about the recent battery fires at the California Coastal Commission meeting yesterday. Resident Sharon Greenstein says she wants the commission to get involved in the fire's aftermath.
What I would like to see from the Coastal Commission is for them to set up a science panel and to have more of a role during the hazardous cleanup, and then for them to have a role in any future permits.
The Coastal Commission did not play a role in the initial permitting of the Vistra facility. Plans for a Watsonville temporary housing facility got the green light this week when the city council denied the final appeal by a neighborhood resident. If upheld, it could have halted the project. KZU's Elena Neal Sachs has been following the story.
The proposed 34-unit development, known as a tiny village, would provide temporary housing and supportive services to people currently living along the Pajaro River levee. The project has spent months in a bureaucratic tug of war. That's mostly due to a series of appeals by a group of neighbors who worry the tiny village would make the area unsafe. Monterey County Homeless Services Director Roxanne Wilson acknowledged these concerns.
No one should be scared to leave their house at night or walk to school.
She knows this project alone will not solve Watsonville's homelessness problem.
But it will help. While at full capacity, there will be 34 people who are not going to be sleeping in your parks, not lingering in your streets at night.
The project is funded by an $8 million grant from the state's Encampment Resolution Fund. Elena Neal Sachs, KAZU News.
This is KAZU News. I'm Dylan Music.
With KAZU News, I'm Paul Fingerote. In 2023, Americans downed some 10 billion donuts. That's according to the data gathering website Statista. And while that donut data sinks in like a cruller in a cup of hot coffee, I'll do the math for you. That's about 30 donuts a year for every person in this country. For people living in the Monterey Bay area, it's likely their share came from Red's Donuts, celebrating its 75th anniversary this month. The family-owned business is still making donuts by hand using the original recipe and still selling their donuts in their original store on Alvarado Street in downtown Monterey.
So in 1950, my parents lived in Arizona. They had a couple restaurants there, just regular like diners.
That's Matt O'Donnell. He's the son of Red's founder, Herman O'Donnell.
Well, he was named Herman, but he had really red hair. And so he was always called Red.
I spoke with him in Red's Seaside location, which opened in 1986. O'Donnell went on to explain how Red's Donuts got its start.
So I had an uncle who owned a shoe store on Alvarado Street, and there was a donut shop right across the street from the shoe store. And my father said he had never seen a donut shop, just donuts, before. So he ended up buying the place for, I think it was $3,000. And then he would make donuts every single day.
Time to make the donuts. It's time to make the donuts. It's time to make the donuts.
He would go in early in the morning and make a batch. And then he would come back around 10 o'clock in the morning and he would make donuts in the window. He would do the cutting of the raised donuts in the window. And people would watch him and he'd fry them right there.
O'Donnell dove into making donuts at a young age.
I actually started making donuts when I was 13 years old. And I made donuts for over 50 years.
Eventually, O'Donnell and his sister, Kathy Saunders, took over the business, owning and operating Red's for decades. When they were ready to retire from the daily donut grind, they didn't have far to go to find a buyer. A group of longtime employees purchased Red's. One of them, Rosa Reyes, started working at the shop in 1996.
It was packing the donuts, you know, to deliver to all the places.
In 2018, Reyes, together with her husband Renee, and later joined by their daughter Erica, bought Red's, continuing the tradition of family ownership. Rosa Reyes says they have pledged to not change a thing, including the secret behind Red's success.
I think it's just keeping the same, everything the same, using the same recipes, trying to use same products.
Another reason for Red's success, the warm and welcoming atmosphere that greets you there. Red serves as a gathering place for the local community, or as O'Donnell says,
it's like a bar without the alcohol.
There's more than donuts and coffee in the air at Red's. You can sniff out a whole lot of love there as well. Bob, a 30-year patron of Red's on Alvarado Street, says what he loves about Red's is...
Evelyn.
That's Evelyn Rosales, who has been serving customers at Red's since...
October 1792.
Love blossoms at Red's between their customers as well, as O'Donnell recalls...
There's two or three couples that met in here, got married, had kids...
To bring this discussion of donuts full circle, I ask the experts, why is there a hole in the middle of my donut? Matt O'Donnell's scholarly answer reflected his 50 years of frying donuts.
I think so, it would cook all the way through.
But I really like Rosa Reyes' response.
It's the healthiest part of the donut.
For the final word on the subject, I turn to legendary musician and singer Burl Ives, who raises the donut and the donut hole to a whole other level as a philosophy of life.
Written on the rainbow is this philosophy. When you walk the street, you'll have no cares if you walk the lines and not the squares. As you go through life, make this your goal. Watch the donut, not the hole.
For KAZU News, I'm Paul Fingerote.
It's written on the rainbow in letters made of